Welcome. I feel like I can finally get into the message. This is an abbreviated message. Who loves abbreviated messages? Praise God, right? So we're starting a new series. And this series is so cool. It's about the Spirit speaking into our lives. And who knows, God is active today. God is active today. He speaks to us today. He works in our lives. We don't serve a God who's dead. We serve a God who cares, and he wants to speak to you. Who says amen to that? Amen. Today's message is the Spirit calls. And it's a funny word to say that God calls us, but he does. And he calls us first and foremost into discipleship. If you are here today and you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is calling you to be his disciple, which means that you are to be his follower and you are to receive his teaching and instruction, and you're supposed to move forward in that. That's given for everybody. Everyone in here, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a disciple. But beyond that, I believe that every disciple has a specific calling from God. And so God has given in your life specific traits and talents to be used for the effort of bringing people into his kingdom. And God wants to use you. He wants to work through you. Who's thankful for a God that is actively involved in our lives like that? I am. And so I want to talk to you about God's general call. There is a general call on all of our lives. And I'm going to reference the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he has this vision of God's throne room. And he just sees the awesomeness and majesty of God. And the angels are praising and worshiping him there. And then he realizes that I am a sinful man. I shouldn't be here. And right then, an angel flies over to him. And he takes a hot burning coal and presses it against his lips and says, you're cleansed now. And then in Isaiah 6:8, God does something interesting. It says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am. Send me. Now, if you know this story, you know that Isaiah was kind of a captive audience right there, and he is having this vision of God, and God is seeking out Isaiah's willingness to be used. Everyone in here say willingness. But God seeking out a prophet came with a great weight of the message that would ultimately be delivered to his people. And so what we find out is that when God calls us into something, it's not a calling that's for the faint of heart. Because often when we think, oh, I want to be called by God, we think of these mountaintop experiences and that we're going to have just this awesome time and you're going to be skipping with the Lord to eternity. Listen to the word Isaiah was asked to deliver after he said, here I am, send me. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, it says, and he said, yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. Could you imagine the experience that Isaiah has in the throne room, and he's just overwhelmed by the presence of God, and all of a sudden God gives him that message, and he's like, that's it? Seriously, that's the message you want me to deliver? After what I've seen, that's the message you want to give. And God in his call is generally for anyone that is willing to deliver a specific message, which ultimately, God just wants a willing heart to serve him. And Isaiah was willing. And so he shouted after being in the presence of God. He's like, here I am, send me. And so if you're sitting there wondering on whether or not you're called, I am telling you that if you tap into the presence of God, God, you're going to feel that pull. You're going to say, I want to serve God no matter what. Now with Isaiah, the task became very specific. And I want you to think about when we choose to be obedient to what God calls us to, because choosing obedience to God today opens the door to fulfill his specific purpose for eternity. It lasts forever. And so on a daily basis, God's Spirit can direct us, speak to us specifically for something that day. If we just tune our ears, if we set the course of our day to say, God, I am yours. So think about you going throughout your day. You might encounter someone who God wants to minister to. And the question is, are you in a place spiritually to be ready to serve? Because to me, that requires an open heart to be used by God daily. You got to be ready to be used by him daily, not just when we feel like it. Because let's be honest, there are days we wake up and we're like, not today. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel better, but not today. But no matter what we're going through, to choose to be an open vessel willing to be used. Because the Lord is looking for the willing. He wants the willing. And there needs to be a willingness and an effort on our part to say, God, I'm going to serve you in a general call that you are calling me to. And who knows that God has given us all a general call, and it is specific in following his word. Listen to Matthew 28, 18 through 19. It can't be more right on point with a general call. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is a general call for us all. I want you to embrace that in Jesus' name. That is a general call for us all. Jesus doesn't give this as a suggestion. It is his way of recognizing if you are truly his disciple or not. If you're not doing it, you're not his disciple. Discipleship in its simplest form is being an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. So if you can't follow him in obedience to what he is asking you to do, why would he ever call you to do something specific? So many of us are wanting to hear from God and know exactly what he is calling us to, but we can't be obedient in the things he has asked us generally to do. I want to teach you a principle that I believe applies. Jesus, he teaches this parable about this shrewd manager and how he used his resources. And the parable, it gives this great principle that I believe can be applied to our faithfulness in what God is asking us to do. And it's in Luke 16:10. It says, if you are faithful in the little things, everyone say little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. Say large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. So if you can't follow God and his word of what he is generally calling you to, why do you think God would say, okay, yeah, I want you to go travel the nations and I want you to deliver my message? He's not going to do that. You have to be faithful to him in his word first. So it starts by us being, just having an open heart with a willingness to serve God in what God has called you to as our general responsibility. You know, in ministry, to find out if someone is really, if they really have a servant's heart, I have people say, well, Pastor, I want to serve in this capacity. And it might be teacher, it might be worship team, it might be all kinds of things you can imagine. I'm like, hold on. I don't know you very well, and you don't know me very well, and I'd love to learn your heart. I'd first ask you, will you be on one of our cleaning teams? Will you plunge the toilets? Will you mop the floors? That litmus test identifies the heart and motive of the person almost every time. Almost every time. Because I see it all the time. I see the hesitation when I say that, and all of a sudden it's like, but that's not what I want to do. I don't want to do it either, y'all. You know, like that's the reality. But we do. That's just who we are. You know what? If the toilet needs plunged, I grab the plunger, right? I don't find someone else and say, hey, that looks like a you job. No. By the way, that happened to me in my first pastorate. Someone found me and said, that looks like a you job. And it reveals the heart of the person, right? Once you are willing to serve, and Mark 10:45 teaches us, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Once you are willing to do that, God can use you. Once you are open to sharing your faith, as in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, where it says that we are like a lamp on a or a city on a hill, that everyone could see us, as long as we don't put it under a basket, as long as we don't hide it, as long as we allow our light to shine before all men, God will be glorified. And we also have to be ready to answer for our faith. Always be ready to give an answer. Why do you believe what you believe? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? To have an answer. That's our general call. And we should be ready to do it. Number two. God calls us specifically. You know, I wish I could read this whole story today, but I'm going to abbreviate it. There's this guy named Saul. He's a Pharisee. He was raised under the teaching of Gamaliel, which was a very notable scholar, and he was well respected. And they decided that these Christians were harming the Jewish faith, and so that they were going to persecute Christians. And this Saul, he was credited as being responsible for the stoning of the Apostle Stephen. And we read about that, we read about the martyrdom of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and then we read this in Acts 9, 1 through 9. Listen to this. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest, he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Church, it is not beyond God to call out ones who are not even currently serving him to a specific purpose. God has the ability to do that. And we see throughout Scripture that God calls people to dedicate their lives to a specific purpose. Saul was no different. He even called out other believers to help lead him in that calling. God did. Listen to this. There was a believer named Ananias who God spoke to, and he instructed to accept Saul after this moment he had on the road to Damascus. Listen to this. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias, yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. Don't you find that interesting? Because listen to what Ananias is about to say. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, who knows what that's like? God instructs you, you're like, hold on a second. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But, this is God's rebuttal, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias chose obedience even in his reluctance. Let that be a lesson to us, church. God doesn't make mistakes, because I know we always dream of these big moments in calling for what God wants to ask us to do, but our understanding in the calling is limited in what God is really doing. You don't really have a clue all the pieces that God is moving and all the things that God is going to do down the road. And so Ananias, he saw God extending grace to a killer of Christians. And so his response is, hold on a second. But his obedience contributed to Saul, who became Paul, writing over half the New Testament. His obedience in that brought not just another devout follower of Jesus Christ, but changed the course of generations. There was no immediate payoff. He didn't understand what God was doing. And there seemed to be more risk than reward. But church, mark it down. God's call serves his greater purpose, not yours. And it's also important for us to remember that God saves souls. He doesn't save flesh. So Paul's called to suffer, and we're like, man, I want that to be Paul's calling, not mine, please. But remember, whatever God's calling you to, God saves our soul. He doesn't save our flesh. We still all die, right? And so God, what he is doing, he is moving all these pieces to not just only affect us, but affect others around us that we don't even have a clue who we're affecting. We just let our light shine before all men so that they can see the glory of God that is in us. Viewing our life through his eyes is critical for us to fulfill his purpose. I'm going to fly through these next three things, and we're going to be ending here soon. Some of you are wondering, well, what's the duration of calling? If I say yes to God, what's the duration? I want to know what I'm committing myself to. And the reality is, God can call you for today. He can call you to serve just in a capacity today. He can also call you for a specific season. You know, God has called me into ministry, but there have been seasons I have served it. Now, this is my third church. And I'll be honest, I don't want to pastor another church. It's, first off, new relationships, it's exhausting. And I'm so thankful for my calling in Waterloo. I am also thankful when God called me away from Waterloo. Because he spoke to me the moment I accepted the position up there. God spoke to me, and let's just say what he was calling me to did not sound promising. And had I known everything God was going to do there, I probably would have said no. So I am thankful that sometimes when God calls us, he speaks in general terms. Had I known everything, I might have said, God, I'm comfortable here. God can also call you for a lifetime. This calling to me is the same as being called into one of the fivefold ministries. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. A lifetime call is one of those things that, you know, there are times that you want to put it down and God won't let you. I'm called to pastor, and I'm not going to go into details, but it was 2014, and it was the worst year of my life. And I was constantly in this state of depression, and I wasn't being a husband or I wasn't being a father. I was just locked into my problem. And finally, by the grace of God, and I wanted to quit. I just wanted to be done with everything. By the grace of God, I had a woman in my life that wouldn't let me. And there have been many times that I've said, God, if there's anything else I could do, garbage man. Garbage man sounds great. It's the same thing every day. Just wake up, just go pick up the garbage, go home. Like, sounds nice sometimes. But God says, I'm not calling you to that. For what God calls you to, he doesn't make mistakes. And he does call us to lifetime calls that I want you to serve in this capacity. And ultimately what we have to do is say, God, I'm going to seek you in your calling for my life. And I want to know what you're calling me to. If you want to get there, I'm going to give you these steps, and then we're going to pray. If every believer humbled themselves before God, truly humbled themselves before God, I believe these altars would be full every Sunday. They'd be full every Sunday. Listen to Ephesians 2:6. It says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us. Everyone say, seated us. With him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Let me tell you that when I am understanding who God is, when I want to embrace his presence, there is no place greater than being at the footstool of God. There is no place greater. As a child, there was no place I wanted to be more than at my Father's feet. As a child of God, there is no place I want to be more than at my Father's feet. Come on, church. Right? Like, this is who I long to be. And God's greatest purpose for you, ultimately, is that he has your heart. And you say, I'm going to give my heart completely over to God. There are so many people that accept Christ and they're like, okay, what should I do? Sit. Get in the presence of God. Get to know him. Then also, I want us to have no limits in our service and who we'll serve. I want us to serve with reckless abandon. I don't care what it is. If it's the small things, guess what? We're going to do the small things. Stephen, you want to hear about Stephen? This is what Stephen was doing in his ministry. He was appointed an apostle to care for widows. That's what Stephen was doing. The next thing he finds out, he is being dragged before the Sanhedrin, this Jewish council, and they are asking him if he is a follower of the way. And they're grilling him in all these questions, and he tells them that it was them who killed Christ. And he breaks it all down for them. He gave account. He gave an answer. He wasn't ashamed. He was faithful in his call, serving the widows. And next thing he finds out, he's being stoned for his faith. But in his stoning, listen to what he cries out in Acts 7, 59 through 60. It says, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. That prayer, spoken before Saul, the man who eventually became Paul, was spoken from the heart of the Father for his creation. Stephen's service to widows took him to his death, but his stoning changed the course of history. Lastly, I want you to think about this. Today's yes to God can change generations for eternity. Just doing what you're called to do. There's no shame in a generic call. Stephen was called to minister to widows. Next thing you know, he finds himself in an unescapable situation. He calls on the Lord. Church, I want you to know, God has a calling for your life. He does. It can be amazing. We don't know. We don't know what it's like. We don't know what it is. But if the church of Jesus Christ today all said yes to God and obeyed him and followed his call, it would take no time whatsoever for the whole earth to be reached. God's just waiting on people to say yes to him. And so here's what I want to do. I want us to stand up. I want us to get ready to worship. But there are people in this room. You've been seeking, or you've been on the fence to say yes. And God, what he is asking of you this morning, surrender your life. To say, God, my life is completely yours. The outcome is yours. What you have called me to, it's yours. I'm not going to hold back in this. And I'm going to choose to just be open. God, I'm not going to put stipulations on it. Lord, I'm not going to tell you what I should be doing. You are going to show me the talents and gifts that you have given me. And I'm going to step into your calling. Church, I felt called to be a billionaire. Guess what didn't happen? God said something else. And God's plan always is for a greater purpose. God's plan always impacts more people than anything I could imagine. And so remove that limitation that we put on God's call. And just say, God, I'm yours. So as we worship, if you would say today, Pastor, I need to surrender my life over to his call. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting to hear it. If that's you, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to just ask you to come forward as we sing it out in worship. Father God, I thank you for each and every person here. And God, I believe that, Lord, we have a church full of apostles, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, Lord. And I believe that you are calling us out, God, and we are going to learn what it means to truly serve you. But first, God, we have to surrender ourselves completely. God, we have to be obedient in the general call that you have given us in your word. And so, Lord, I pray that we be fully committed to that in Jesus' name. God, we completely open the door to just serve you. Lord, spread your truth. God, I pray for hearts ready to completely give themselves over to you. And God, I know with a moldable heart, Lord, you can affect generations. So God, break the hardness of our hearts right now. Lord, shape us into your image. Give us your understanding, Father.